Welcome back to the 98 podcast. I'm your host, Kieran. And today we're talking about Love is Blind, season 6.
Woo!
And here, joined by Molly and Roisin. Hi, ladies. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi. I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking.
Of course. Tell the audience a little bit about yourselves.
I'm Molly. I'm really excited to be on this podcast today, my first podcast, which is really exciting. I am single AF, capital A, capital F. I love Love is Blind. I've been following the show since it aired, and I think this season was the spiciest. I think the impact of social media and how that affected the production and post-production and all that jazz has been really exciting and just makes everything a lot more intriguing. So I'm rambling. God damn it. Okay. I will pass it off to Roisin.
All right. I'm Roisin. I'm a love enthusiast, a hopeless romantic. I've been married for, I think, a year and a half with the love of my life. But it was definitely a journey to get there. It's been really fun watching Love is Blind and recapping with everyone every week and even throughout the week, let's be honest. It's been an interesting season. So I'm super excited to talk about it today.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, for being with me today. So I made a little presentation, kind of recapping things. It's kind of what I do. But let's get started. So Love is Blind season 6. Here are the cast from this season. And I broke it down into just like some important facts for everyone. So we have 30 participants this year, as we always do. And honestly, that number is really important because when you do a statistical analysis, you have to hit 30. And I never realized that with the show until I was counting. Anyways, I digress. We had about like 16 characters this season that we got to learn. 5 of them were actually like paired up as couples. And we also had 6 side characters, which has never happened before. There's always like 1 or 2, but not this many like notable side characters as we have here. So Mackenzie, Matthew, Amber, Trevor, Sarah Ann, and Jessica.
Mackenzie, the dreaded Mackenzie.
I know, right? Like she was everywhere.
She's a secret villain.
I don't even know. I just feel like she was kind of the scapegoat,
yeah.
Potentially. But the couples included Chelsea and Jeremy, AD and Clay, Jeremy and Laura, and then Kenneth and Brittany. And then the one couple that actually got married, Amy and Johnny. So what are your guys' thoughts on the couples and characters that we're seeing this season?
I think I like your point about the fact that we had like a bunch of side characters. Like I haven't really thought of Love is Blind that way before because everyone is always paired up perfectly or imperfectly for better or worse. Like couples are either paired up and they go to the altar and they move forward with the marriage or they don't. But this season, at least it seems to me, was the first season or one of the few seasons where we did have these kind of side characters that were like spitting game and like being kind of like secretive and clandestine about stuff and stirring the pot, you know, mm-hmm. like just kind of like adding more drama. It almost seemed like that was their MO the whole time, was actually just stirring shit up with mm-hmm. the couples and not actually their to find love. Or maybe they realized that they were going to get burned and they weren't actually going to be able to like match with someone. And then they just decided to say like, can I swear on this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. They just decided to say fuck it. And they just wanted to like watch the world burn. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think it just says a lot about the people who are recruiting characters for this show. They're looking for two different types of people. One is the actual eligible people who they think will find love. And then the other half is actually three types. Then there's a category of people who would not believe that love is blind and are actually very materialistic and into the physical personalities, I guess. And then there's a third where they're just drama.
Yep.
It's not a reality show without people who are just stirring the pot, like Molly said.
100%. Like, I echo everything you guys said. I feel like
the common denominator between all of these wackos is the fact that they want to increase their social media account, right? Do you think?
Yeah. Or
even for Amy and the guy with the receding hairline, what was his name? Johnny.
Yeah. Love is not blind for Molly.
No, I'm jaded, okay? I'm jaded AF. I'm single AF, you know.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I agree. I think as the season progresses, or like there's more seasons coming out, I just feel like it's less about Love is Blind and more about like clout. And honestly, the weird thing about it is like you're famous for like 4 months to like 3 months or something, and then nobody cares anymore because we move on to the next season, right? So I don't know if it's actually worth it to go after the clout. And we'll kind of get into it as we go to the next slide. But yeah, I just thought like this season, there was just a lot of just too many people, too many names, a lot going on. I don't know what's going on in like Charlotte, North Carolina, but there's something in the water.
Well, here's a question. Mm-hmm. My question is, let's say they are on the show for clout. Is it clout for some other side gig that they're trying to promote a new business, or is it clout like for them to go on exactly like jet skis, or is it clout to go on a reality show to find a potential partner in the future? Is it exposure to all of, I don't know, single and non-single people out there?
Totally. I think that's a great point, because for me, I was like, oh, wham, 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 this person, like, didn't make it to the altar or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, if they set themselves up for success in the show in terms of, like, making it clear they have, like, a moral compass and they're not a complete, you know, asshole, and they're most likely relatively attractive in general, then I'm sure they're going to have a lot of DMs from people who are going to be, like, you know, asking them to hang out or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, but that's the thing, like, I don't know if I would personally, like, if I was on the show and I came in for, you know, clout of some sort, I feel like it's like, it might be negative publicity for your own business even. And then if you are getting a bunch of DMs from people, like, how would you know if they actually like you or if they just want to get a piece of that, you know, like, clout? That's fair. I don't know. Yeah. But it is a really good point of view, because I've noticed as I was trying to watch over previous like recaps on YouTube about like where are the couples now, I feel like a lot of them ended up finding their partner eventually, you know? So like maybe it does help expose you enough, but then who's to say like that these people weren't going to eventually find someone, you know? So I don't know if it's right. The show to be given credit, but definitely food for thought. But yeah.
Also, okay. I just noticed that Matthew is 37.
Oh,
crazy. That's kind of old, isn't it?
Yeah. He's the oldest. Is he
the
right?
oldest on the, yeah.
Looks yeah, like looks it. Like it. Laura, 34.
Mackenzie and Brittany were the youngest. They're both 25.
Mackenzie and Brittany. Yeah.
When does your frontal cortex finish developing again? As a woman versus man?
That is a great question.
I think we're supposed to be 25 technically, and I can say because I'm 25 and these women are supposed to be my age.
Supposed to.
Well, you know how like sometimes it's recorded a year before, so you're like, I don't know if they're 25 right. or 26 now, but like, I mean, I could see myself potentially, if I was, I don't want to say desperate enough, if I was like, you know what, why not just give this a chance? But only in my 30s, I don't understand why young people, there should be like a cap at an age. Mm-hmm. Like, you really don't need this. Like, Brittany and Mackenzie, you're both very pretty. Like, why are you on this
yeah.
show? This well, is, I thought this was like for like kind of people who were just like, I've tried everything and I cannot find a man's or a woman's, you know?
Well, to yeah. segue slightly, like, I also am noticing, I didn't realize that Jimmy was 28 and Chelsea was 31. So there was a 3-year age gap. She, and I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I think that speaks to, well, I mean, she was super immature as well, but I almost wonder if that speaks to like the toxicity of their relationship because, mm-hmm. which, you know, I'm not saying that a 3-year age gap is like bad or anything, but late 20s guy, early 30s girl, I don't know. I just feel like there's definitely can be some differences in lifestyle there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you look at Clay and Jeremy, too, they're both younger than their partners.
Yeah.
So I feel like age might be working against the men, too.
But oh, yeah.
I wouldn't even blame it on the age. It's just them, I think.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But all righty. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next slide. We still get to talk about these people. Don't worry. Okay, so. So many love triangles. So oh many God. Love triangles. Okay. There were triangles on top of triangles. I was hoping you guys would like that one.
That is so funny.
I was going to try to Photoshop the dolphin with the phone, but then I was like,
look how happy he is.
I know. We love Brittany, though. Okay. So let's start off with the main, like, double triangle love story, which was Jessica, Chelsea, Jimmy, and then Chelsea, Jimmy, Trevor. Do you guys have like initial thoughts? Like, what did you think was going to happen before things started to happen? Like,
yes, this is two couples that are completely mismatched.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They both should have gone with the opposite choice here. Right? Mm-hmm. Am I reading this correctly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I agree. I would have said Jessica and Jimmy and then yes. Chelsea and Trevor would have been better off. But, like, let's talk about it. Like, why did Jimmy choose Chelsea and why did Chelsea choose Jimmy and not Trevor? I just have to say, like, I'm a big Jessica fan. There were moments when I wasn't throughout, like, postseason. But, like, overall, I feel like she was, like, a very confident lady. She knew what she wanted. The only thing I didn't like was that she didn't say that she was a mother right away, which I feel like is a lot to drop on a person when you are already constricted by time. But anyways, I thought her and Jimmy had deep convos. She was pushing him to, like, be more proactive in the way that, like, he was talking or seeing things. And I feel like Chelsea was just the easy choice. Like, and she only sold herself as like all the good things. Like, you know, she was like, I want to travel and I want to do this. And she was super bubbly and stuff like that. But I feel like Jessica pushed him to be like a little bit more deep with their convos. And then vice versa, like Chelsea and Jimmy's dynamic. I don't understand what it was. Like, it just seemed playful overall. And then Trevor and Chelsea were also kind of playful. So I don't even understand what her determining factor was. And, like, we can talk about the reunion later. But, like, I just feel like for Chelsea, she just wanted someone to pick her. If he chooses me, then I'm going to go with him kind of energy. I don't know. It was, like, a weird, like, reverse pick me girl situation going on. It was, like,
yeah, for me. I don't know. I don't know if she – I don't know if Chelsea constitutes as a pick me girl, though. I think yeah. that she was – she was weighing her options until the very last moment, and so was Jimmy. And I think I think Jessica challenged Jimmy, and that would have been really good for him, but he doesn't know that yet.
Agreed.
He hasn't experienced enough challenges in life to know that sometimes you need someone to push you a little bit.
He just wanted, like, the fun girl and not, like, someone has more more going on. Supposedly.
He wanted someone to laugh at all of his jokes, basically.
Yeah.
And Jessica would be calling him out on his jokes if they were like too far.
I see. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with like Chelsea. Like, what do you guys think? Like, why did she choose Jimmy over Trevor? What was going on there?
Sorry, I totally just swallowed.
No, you're totally good.
I feel like, did we talk about this? That it was because Jimmy was just the first person to propose, like, of Trevor, and that's what they also talked about on the show. And what Trevor calls out is like, okay, well, if I had proposed, then would you have, you know, accepted my proposal or whatever?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think that was a pretty valid thing. Because I know in the reunion, she was like, you know, there was something off about you and I couldn't put my finger on it. And I'm just glad my instincts kicked in. And I was like, I don't think that's true because he had everyone fooled. And maybe it could have been a sign. It could have been something. But I really don't think she was thinking too much about it. And it just worked out for her. You know,
hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah. But yeah, any other thoughts on like the pairings here?
Yeah, I actually, before we move on from this this double triangle situation, I want to address the fact that both Jessica and Chelsea kept a secret from Jimmy.
Yep.
Good call. And I don't think that either of those secrets were worth waiting that long to share. First of all, having a child is something you should be very proud of. And I think, like, I understand her perspective of she doesn't want that to be her entire identity. And that's, you know, its own respectable thing. But that is a huge part of your life. And if you're afraid of explaining this giant part of your life that you should be kind of, it sounds like she's very proud of her daughter. Why are you holding that back for that long? And the same thing kind of goes for Chelsea too. Like if she was so worried about sharing the fact that she's been divorced, maybe we could have heard why, like what happened in that relationship.
Yeah.
They don't really go into it. They never talk about why.
Yeah. And maybe it happened off camera, but even that, that is not something to be ashamed of. It's an experience that got her where she is today. And it everything in life teaches you a lesson. If you go through a divorce, it's teaching you something. If you go through a breakup, it teaches you something about yourself, about what you're looking for, whatever it is. I just feel like it was unfair for Jimmy and Trevor. I guess she did the same with Trevor to hold that information for so long.
Very true. I agree. Nice. Anything else on these? No, it was great. Anything else on? And we can always come back.
I mean, okay, because I was going to say, I feel like we need to at least speak a few words about Jeremy and Sarah Ann and Laura, and then also
For sure. Oh, I just meant for like the double triangle. If there's anything else,
oh, the double triangle. Ooh,
yeah, up here in the corner.
Wow. I think I'm good on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about these problematic people. At least they were amongst themselves. They didn't intermingle, bring other side characters into things, you know? I mean, I like that about them.
I will say that I love that Jeremy wore a Hawaiian shirt at the reunion just to spite Laura.
Honestly, it didn't look that bad either, to be honest. Like, he wore it. Like,
it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I think like Jeremy, Laura, and Sarah Ann, I thought it was very suspicious when Jeremy broke things off with Sarah Ann and she was like, okay, cool. And then moved on. I was like, okay, that's,
yeah,
that was a weird breakup.
And also, I was also going to say, like, I also don't think that Jeremy and Laura were ever compatible. And then it was just, you know, but that was kind of pushed aside with all the drama of Sarah Ann, because Laura's a ball buster. I mean, great. It's nice that she happened to be a ball buster and called his ass out on national television, but they obviously were not a good fit to begin with. You know?
I agree. 100% agree. They reminded me of Cole and Zenib from like season 3 or something, where he was more like childish and she was way more serious. And it was like, I feel like in the pods, sometimes like that opposite energy attracts. And, you know, like I don't know. I just remember Laura being like, I made a pros and cons list and there were way more pros. And it's like, I wish she like deep dived a little bit more into it, because it's like, okay, but what were the pros and what were the cons? Cause I don't know. She just, for me, I'm not a fan of any of these three people. I feel like Laura was very like negative and always just kind of like dissing Jeremy all the time. And it could just be editing or just what we saw.
I mean, even her parents noticed it. Like, you could tell, like, that's why, you can handle her.
Yeah, that's why it was like, oh, this is just her as a person. This isn't, like, just their dynamic. She's just like this. And I know that later on that same night, he went to go meet with Sarah Ann, or, like, they met up accidentally, whatever. I don't know what their BS story is. But, like, and he was with her until 5 a.m. And honestly, like, I'm not for that. That's really bad. But I feel like I'm trying to get into his mindset of, like, I don't think he's a good person, first of all. But, like, your fiance just dissed you the whole day in front of her family. I don't know. I'm just like, I would not be happy with my fiance is all I have to say. I wouldn't go cheat with my, like, I guess side, like, I guess my ex or whatever from the pods. But I just, like, I wish they would have deep dived a little bit into the reunion about, like, hey, what was up with the Hawaiian shirts? And, like, why did that bother you so much? Or, like, you know, there were moments when Laura wasn't the best. Like, she was prying on Amy and Johnny's relationship about the whole, like, why aren't you guys sleeping together? Like, blah, blah, blah. Remember there was that one moment? And then
and she said the beanbag comment or whatever.
Yeah, bean dip thing. Like, she's not a good person. Like, I just feel like they let her get off the hook a little bit. But I digress. And Sarah Ann, I just, the second she started talking about, like, abortion, I was like, all right.
Oh god, yeah.
Ladies.
Yeah.
I did also want to say, like, in the past seasons, right, when people have paired up and have broken off with someone and then they pair up with someone, like, exes reunite at the like on the vacation trip, like the little honeymoon stuff, because that happened with, like, Chelsea, Kwame, and Micah, or Maya, or whatever her name was, like, a couple seasons ago. Like, I don't know. It always ends up happening where you see the person you were potentially going to end up with, and so there's one person always feeling kind of jaded or just, like, still going after their ex, essentially. And so I think this is the first time where, like, the girl didn't get picked by anyone, and so they didn't mm-hmm. see each other until after the honeymoon phase, and that's kind of where I feel like a lot of drama festered a little bit more, because I feel like I was not surprised that she went after him, because it was like someone always does that. It's always a guy or a girl going after the person that rejected them. Yeah. It's not new. It's not a new thing, but I feel like it just was different this time a little bit because of the after honeymoon situation, because that's usually when things get boring, but it spiked this season from those episodes.
That's always onward. Like usually it kind of peaks when everyone gets together and gets wasted after the honeymoon trip or whatever, not honeymoon trip, but you know what I mean. That just was like spread like wildfire, the drama.
100%.
Do we think that Amber was a plant though? And or Matthew?
I think they both were. They were so sus. I don't know if, like, Roisin, what your thoughts are on this, but, like, the reunion thing did not confirm anything for me. Because the way that it felt so scripted. And they had that clip so ready to go. I don't know. It just felt weird.
Yeah, I don't know if they were planted. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Could be. I know that this is a theory amongst a lot of Love is Blind watchers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I'm just, like, surprised that Amber, I feel like they should have invited her to the reunion, because they could have touched base a little bit on, like, the Matthew situation.
Well, yeah.
Did they invite Matthew and he didn't go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He declined.
Well, the way Amber left the show, too, she wanted to remove herself from the situation entirely when she found out.
Yeah, I feel like that's what made it weird for people, because that usually doesn't happen. It's not very common. Mm-hmm. I feel like now, in the recent seasons, people have been dipping earlier, right?
Yeah. Are there any other couples that are still together from previous seasons aside from Lauren and what's-his-face?
Yeah, I will actually get into it on the next
episode. Okay.
No spoilers. Yeah, so there are still couples together, but it is kind of interesting to kind of see how many love triangles there were this season. It was just kind of wild, even ignoring, like, the fake one up here in the corner, Kenneth and Dolphins and Brittany. Any other thoughts on the love triangles this season? Oh, I guess we didn't really touch on Amber and like Clay and overall, but like,
oh,
I feel like honestly, if the whole like Matthew thing to both Ambers at the same time wasn't a thing, like she definitely would have picked Matthew. Like, there's no doubt. I don't know. Like, she was not feeling Clay after he asked her about her looks.
Oh yeah.
But then Matthew goofed up even more, and then she kind of just sided with him. That's why I'm like, I feel like she definitely. I don't know.
You think it's a missed opportunity?
No, I think it's good. I'd rather her than be with these two red flags. I mean, honestly, can you see how many red flags there are on this screen? Like, Trevor was a red flag. Jeremy was a red flag. Freaking, like, Matthew, initially, we thought he was going to be the worst guy this season, and I honestly don't agree anymore with that. I think he sucked, but, like, he wasn't a Jeremy, you know? Or a Trevor. But yeah, any other thoughts on this before we move on?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, we can always come back to it too. So, you know, in case. Alrighty, so let's talk about this quote that Nick Lachey said. And it's not word for word, but like, I remember him saying this and it stuck in my mind and I was like, what? And he said, like, of the 11 couples that got married, 9 of them are still together. So if we do the math, 9 divided by 11 equals 81%.
Which conversion rate?
Conversion rate. So that means it's a B minus. So if Love is Blind is an experiment, they would receive a B minus based off of his statement. So that's not bad. That's not bad. But in reality, we got to do the math correctly, okay? And I don't know if...
I got to turn my camera off so I can see the full screen.
Okay. Well, okay. And my math could be wrong. So people in the audience, feel free to correct me, but I am a market researcher and I can attest to my math. So of the 30 participants each season, and there's been 6 seasons, that's 30 times 6, which is 180 people have been a part of this. We don't see all 180 on the screen ever, but like they're there. Okay. Of those, we could have had potentially 90 marriages if they all like vibe together. Scary. That would have been like the goal, right? So you're taking that base number and then you're going to divide it by 33, which is how many couples paired up in the pods. So that's not like including the ones that got married, or sorry, this includes those that got married and those that said no at the altar or broke up. So this is an F, okay? This is 37%. My base number is the only thing that I'm like a little iffy about, but I just had to like choose one base number. So F, okay? And then if you look at how many people actually got married and stayed married, which is 9, and you divide that, you get 10%, which is still, you're failing. So this experiment is failing, all right? So stay with me, all right? Stay with me. This is a lot of math for no reason, but let me put it in a graph. This is what I've been doing after work, Molly. Like, after building a bunch of my sites, this is what I've been up to. But anyways, okay, stay with me here, people, okay? Success rate of Love is Blind, all right? Season 1, we had about, this is how many people got engaged. There were 5 couples, meaning 10 people left the pods together, okay? Of those 5 couples, 2 got married. That's Laura and, oh gosh, I don't even want to try to name them because I don't remember. But two couples got married. And of those engagements that we knew about, 3 people broke up. So 3 couples broke up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll explain these percentages later. In season 2, we had 2 marriages and 2 divorces. So both the couples that got married have already divorced. We had about 7 engagements that season. And 5 of those couples did break up. So not looking so great. As we go to season 3, this is the season with, oh gosh, this was like the deep sea season, you know, with like the shake guy.
Oh, that guy was so fucking horrible.
Right,
So unattractive for being so horrible. That was weird. That was a weird thing going on there.
Yeah. And then in this season, we had, oh gosh, who were they? Oh, this was like Raven, SK, Old Venom, Colleen, and that one guy. Anyways, there are 5 couples that left engaged. 2 got married. and three couples broke up. Now, here's season four. This is Zach, Bliss, Brett, Tiffany.
Tiffany was the other Megan Fox, right?
No. Isn't Tiffany Brett's wife?
Gal who was one of the mean girls that was with Zach, and he said that she looked like Megan Fox.
I don't know, but she was like a mean.
And she was a biatch, yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like, so there were six people that left as couples, three got married, and then the rest broke up. And these little symbols, the little stars, represent people pairing up afterwards. So, like, I counted Zach as two different couples because he ended up with that one girl, and then he broke up and then ended up with Bliss.
Yeah, so, the one girl is Megan Fox.
Fox girl. That's calculated here in these percentages. And then season five was probably the worst season that most Love is Blind watchers can agree
Portland,
on.
Portland, right?
Toxic. Was it Portland? I don't know. It's the one with Izzy and stuff.
Oh, no. I think that was another Carolina. I think
it was,
Portland was season four, I think.
Maybe Texas or something.
But, yeah.
There are four engaged couples with only one marriage at the end, and three broke up. And then the last one, that was this season, we had one marriage, five couples, four breakups. And what these numbers represent is, like, how many people actually, of the people that got engaged, how many actually got married and stayed married. So you take this number, you divide it by this number, you get this number. So then if you take the percentages, right, this is zero because all the people who got married divorced. So, you know, we don't have any success rates that season. 40, 50, 25, 20. If you average that number, that's 29%, which is still a failing score. So I ask you, ladies, is love blind?
Yes.
I feel like that deserves a round of applause.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun making that, but I was thinking about it for so long, and it can be just me as a researcher, like, thinking about it, but I truly do think this show could be really great, but I feel like it's started to get, like, flawed because they're not picking the right people if we're going back to it.
Well, I think also we've learned and, like, attested, I don't know if that makes sense here, but we don't give a shit about people who have nice lives. We want to see people who are gnarly and awful and bitchy and stupid.
I want to see a dumpster fire.
I want to see a dumpster fire. Yes, exactly. It's like, oh, Amy and Johnny, they're making their, like, corny, weird little, like, videos. It's like, oh, okay. And fast forward. So I think that's what, like, unfortunately, the Love is Blind cast, or excuse me, production team is probably just like, okay, we're like, this recipe for disaster is literally, like, the perfect recipe for disaster.
That is so true. And as you were saying that, I was thinking, we're defining success by season of, like, people staying together, getting married or whatever. But honestly, if we looked at viewership over this past few seasons, like, it's getting bigger and bigger. So I feel like technically from a production standpoint, this show is successful. Like, it's not even about the people getting married or staying married or whatever. Like, that's a perk. But I think at the end of the day, it's about, like, are people watching? People want more, you know?
And if you think about, like, at least for me in my own, like, brain and psyche, it's like, I do want to just watch the world burn, but then it's also, like, really disheartening when you see, like, AD, like, crying and, you know, Clay's just being such a fucking loser. And then it, like, pans to Johnny and Amy, at least in the reunion, you know, and it's like, okay. And they have, like, this really nice time with their parents, and it's like, okay. So I think it's, like, the majority should be dumpster fires, and then there should be, like, just one sliver, one little, like, slice of the Love is Blind pie each season where it's like, okay, there's, like, this cute couple, and sure, they have, like, some issues, but they're going to probably make it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And then if you think about it, I feel like you could get both. Like, you don't have to have, like, a perfect couple situation, like, like Brett and Tiffany or like Amy and Johnny from the season. Cause not gonna lie, those do get boring. Like sometimes we don't be watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
But things like Zach and Bliss were like the perfect combination of so much drama, plot twists, like second chances, and now they're married and they're having kids. Like it's so wild to me. Like it that their relationship covered everything I would ever need in a Love is Blind season.
Remind me what their drama was. Like basically,
remember, oh, he picked Irina, the Megan Fox lookalike.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he broke up with her, or they broke up, and then he went back to Bliss. She gave him a second chance. They got married at the end. And they're pregnant with the child's coming soon, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was mad about that when I was watching that happen live. I was like, this is so crazy.
Like
that he made the wrong decision and then went after her after the fact. Cause I was like, if that were me, I would not feel great being on television and being like the second option or the afterthought. I wouldn't say, I don't know. I think like he genuinely made a mistake. And I think that's kind of the same case with Jeremy. Like, I think he just made a mistake and proposed to the wrong person.
Yeah.
But speaking on these percentages, thank you for putting these out here.
Thank you.
I think this is really interesting because what they're saying is what a B grade was 80 something percent success of their like couples that have been married. Technically, that is a pretty high success rate if you're thinking about marriage success rate. Like if the standard now is 50%, it has been 50% for a really long time. And maybe what we're looking at, this 29%, is actually like what percent of what the success rate of dating is. So really it comes down to a numbers game. If you're trying to find your person, 29% of your dates will actually end up being a success. So keep going out there and keep meeting people as much as you can.
Yes, I 100% agree. I like that more optimistic look.
Me too. I need that.
Because I could have definitely been pessimistic and be like, guys, just give up. Okay, there's only 29% of us that could probably find love. Stop right there. No. And I think like the other thing,
dog instead.
I think the other thing that you kind of touched on was also kind of interesting. Like, why do we have to define love as getting married? Like, not everybody wants that or needs that. And I do think that, and I mean, I was trying to take into account couples that did end up staying together, which were none of them. Like, if after the show, they were still dating for a bit, but then they would never get like past the dating phase. And I'm curious, like, does it matter? Like, you could still love someone and then have broken up, right? Like, love is love, like that, you know. I don't know.
I feel like that's the cool thing with marriage these days, is it's like it's kind of whatever you for commitment or whatever, but it's like it's kind of like however you want to like look at it. Like, if some people will just choose to be partners, some people will choose to get married, but it's not this like kind of archaic black and white thing anymore. You know?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Well, it would be interesting to see, like, if looking back on all the seasons, and then also you would need to be like, okay, well, what if like a couple was together for 6 months and then they ended things? What if the couple was together for 2 years? Like, what is that threshold where it's like, is that what determines like a successful relationship? But if you could figure out those other factors and then add that data, then we could, then it'd be interesting to see what that percentage really does look like, because maybe it would be higher, or maybe it wouldn't be, because most of them were just all dumpster fire people and dumpster fire relationships.
I think it's crazy to see how many people have gotten engaged in here too, and how many people have called off an engagement, because being a person who has like been in a breakup post engagement, I thought I was one in like a million who experienced like, oh, I was engaged and then it broke off. Like, how embarrassing, right? But, and people kept saying this happens all the time, but I didn't believe them because I couldn't see it. And then this show came out and I got to see it live. And it's absolutely insane, because when when I was dating, I thought the finish line was getting engaged. And then when I was engaged, I thought the finish line was getting married. Mm-hmm. And now being married, that's definitely not the case. The finish line is making sure I am happy at the end of the day, at the end of my life. That's all that matters to me. It'd be nice to be next to the person that I love when I pass away. That'd be great. But really, it's like, does this person share values with you? Does this person make you happy? Do they bring the best out of you? And if it doesn't do that, it's not worth the engagement. It's not worth any of that.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Oh,
this is why you're here, Roisin. Like, oh, the clarity.
I'm an enthusiast.
Thank I am God. A love enthusiast. I am a hopeless romantic.
No, I really appreciate you sharing your experience, because that's kind of why I brought both of these ladies on. You know,
I'm
like,
curmudgeon, kind of like FMD, just hates men, and then Roisin's like just bubbly, beautiful. Oh, you know, found my soulmate. No, just kidding.
it was hard, but I got there.
Yeah,
I also used to hate men. Just kidding.
I still sometimes hate them. It's fine.
Yeah, fair. Okay, well, I wanted to, like, now that we've kind of talked about the season from our perspective, like, just thoughts in general, like, I feel like this is a pretty good transition from, like, Roisin kind of sharing about her experience and, like, what the show has kind of shown you about, like, engagements breaking off or, like, you know, because I feel like it's very, I don't know if it's, like, a cultural thing, but it's very engraved in, like minds of a lot of, like, women, that engagement or marriage, it's kind of like the end all be all for some reason. And I mean, a lot of people think that way too. I am always kind of curious to see, like, because there's like newer generations coming about, and we have shows like this, and like with the dating world, the way that it is with apps and everything, like it kind of, I don't know how you stayed a hopeless romantic, Roisin, like that's so awesome. But it makes me so cynical and bitter sometimes, because I'm like, oof, I'd rather just stay single, because it's very scary to like be so trusting of people sometimes. And I don't know if you guys have other like thoughts on your experiences in the past, but the show really did kind of echo things that I've been going through recently, at least with the whole like dating space is kind of like wild and kind of all over the place for me. I don't know. It's so weird. Like, I feel so far away from like the idea of marriage, but I also feel like I am approaching it like sooner than I thought I would ever think about. But yeah, it's hard to navigate. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think like I assumed that I would always get married, and I assumed that I would like just go about my normal life and meet people. And in college I did, and after college I did, for better or for worse. But just because you're like connecting with people in the universe doesn't mean that that connection will necessarily equate to like a relationship that is worthy of marriage. And now I just kind of hope that I'll like, and I know 100,000% that I will meet someone for sure one of these days, but I don't know. I just think it's like a different world. And I also echo what Roisin says, like just making sure that you're with someone who makes you happy and makes you a better person and supports you. And, you know, if marriage is part of that, then great. And if not, then no worries. It's just a whole new world out there. But I mean, I think I think like what I've learned from this show, like maybe I've learned, I mean, I do think that it was exciting to see people get excited about new connections and fight for people that they wanted to fight for. You know, like AD fought for Clay, even though it was clear he wasn't going to marry her from day one, but she still really fought for him. And I think he fought for her too. And I think they kind of had like a really beautiful relationship at some point. And they're kind of almost, he's almost kind of the most heartbreaking for me, because I think it seems like he has regrets. And I've like listened to a lot of, or excuse me, I've like read a lot of things on like message boards and Reddit, because he just grew up and kind of with that father who was just not a good role model and blah, blah, blah. But I digress. But yeah, I think it was a nice reminder to see people connect with other people and fight for people, and also not giving up on meeting the right person if it didn't work out. So I feel like I'm always just trying to get up on the horse and get back out there, maybe be a slightly more guarded of my heart, because I am quite transparent and I just kind of I take people at face value, and I assume that people are good natured when sometimes they aren't. So that's kind of like for me what I'm taking into my next chapter of dating, and also kind of echoing what happened on Love is Blind as well. Just trying not to be so open and honest, or at least like giving more of yourself than you should right away, as opposed to holding it back and letting them earn it before, you know. Yeah.
I think it's important to protect your heart, but also being, you know, open to what the universe has for you when it comes.
Because you don't want to be too, you don't want to be too guarded that you miss those universe moments. So yeah,
you want to be open to an experience, but also protect yourself at the same time.
I agree.
Do you guys feel like any of the characters kind of like resonated with you a bit more, or like the season in particular, I guess, or, you know?
I had a lot of empathy for Chelsea, actually. And I know that she gets mixed reviews from a lot of folks. But I think, like, I saw my past in herself a lot, in the way that she was very hopeful for her relationship with Jimmy for the majority of the season. And it felt like she kept pushing for it, and she kept needing that reassurance that, like, hey, but do you love me? Do you love me? Like, she definitely has an anxious attachment style. And I've been in those shoes before, to be like, hey, are you sure though? Like, are you positive? Or I don't know, are you? And in my experience, that came to fruition where I kept doubting the relationship, to the point where that happened, where my ex was like, I don't really want to get married, actually. And I felt like it took me a year and a half at minimum to like heal from that. And there are still parts of me that still get triggered from that relationship, because all I thought was, I knew it. Like, I kept asking, I kept trying to ask for more from the relationship, and I thought I was being crazy, but the reality was it just wasn't meant to be that way. So yeah, I relate to her a bit.
I definitely do too. Like, for sure, the last relationship I had, which was really, really toxic, and like we just both were so like codependent, and I would have to ask for that reassurance, and I was always like, I'm never, that's not who I am. Like, that's not how I was raised to like act this way in a relationship. But you just find yourself in those situations. But then at the end of the day, it's like, well, maybe there was like, maybe our intuition was like, that was how it was manifesting, was like, we knew that it wasn't right, and we were almost like waiting for a sign or waiting for something to happen, whether, you know, the engagement ended or there was a breakup or whatever. Maybe it sounds like it was for the best for both of us, but yeah, because you wouldn't need to be reassured if the relationship was healthy.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate you guys expressing your vulnerability in that way, because I feel like I'm very new to this whole dating space, because for the longest time I was like putting it off slash like, it was more of a casual thing. But now that I'm like, oh, I should be investing more time. And honestly, like, there's times when, like, I don't know if I'm conditioned to think that there's supposed to be something wrong. Like, I'm receiving validation. It's all that. It's all good. But then I'm just, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, something, like, I don't know if I'm getting in my own way sometimes. I don't know if it's, like, it's not even, like, that's why I can't really relate to any of the characters directly. But it's the whole concept of like is love blind? You know, like, can you get past all the like worries and the concerns or like the looks and whatever, you know, like, it's just, it's like a real world relatable topic, you know. It's not one of those like too hot to handle or like whatever those other shows are.
That one's awful.
I've never watched it, but yeah, it's just, it is like a very interesting thing that like I feel like a lot of characters, people can see themselves in certain characters, and sometimes they don't want to, but it's, it, I feel like it does help kind of reflect a little bit more. Ooh, did I echo? That was weird. But yeah, so I feel like we're kind of towards the end of it. I don't know if you guys have any other questions, but I was just gonna wrap it up by asking, like, what do you expect from season 7? Do you expect a season 7?
In Detroit?
Yeah.
I expect there to be a lot of sassiness, a lot of drama, a lot of skankiness, a lot of horrendous behavior, maybe a sprinkle or two of some love. But who knows? I mean, we'll see. If the guys are hot in Detroit, maybe I'll move there. House music. Just kidding.
Yeah. What about you, Rishi?
I don't know. I guess this is more for the producers, but I think that on The Bachelor, they offer a therapist as part of like the behind the scenes for the actresses, the candidates. Mm-hmm. There we go. I think that would be highly beneficial if they had like a confession station or a, not a confession, I guess that kind of gets a little religious all of a sudden, but like just someone that they can talk to, mm-hmm. who is maybe a counselor or something, that would be incredible. Because one of the couples that really stood out to me, even though they didn't make it, was Kenneth and
Brittany.
Yes, Kenneth and Brittany. Because I think she has gone through, either she has gone through a lot of therapy or she has studied a lot of therapy, psychology or something like that, where she knows how to communicate really well. And aside from their breakup conversation, every time they had an interaction, I was like, this girl knows how to talk to her man. Like, this girl has potential of like having a very successful relationship. Should he want it, basically. Mm-hmm. If they were trained in part of the show to like have communication, healthy communication, this could go way differently.
Mm.
I don't know. This doesn't answer your question, but.
No, I think it's such a different direction to take, because like, it's not changing up the formula too much. It's just providing them with support, right?
They just need resources.
Yeah, because
and they can get their 85% to like way higher, and this average success rate of 29% will shoot up like crazy if they actually want to prove something.
100%. I love that idea, because like, I mean, I was actually honestly like, I love talking to people about this, because we're like, oh my gosh, if we were on the show, like we would do it this way. And if I'm completely honest, I would first of all not want to be on the show because it's so intimidating, but also like, I get so in my head, and like, if I don't have my phone to like have reassurance from like friends or whatever about like situations, and then you don't have anyone else besides the women that you're competing against or the men that you're competing against, like, how are you supposed to get through this and not end up feeling some sort of like confusion or just overall like stress and anxiety with this whole experiment? I do feel like they definitely need to have counselors or therapists on site. And honestly, like my suggestion was going to be like better, casting. And I don't mean the clout chasers or the Clays of the world where he's like super into looks. I think we do need people like that, because sometimes, you know, they might change their mind and they might actually give up that like thing that, you know, they've been holding on to with looks and everything. But I think it's like the safety aspect. The only thing that my, chart here doesn't show is like couples that either weren't filmed together, because there were sometimes there were way more engaged couples and they just didn't give them any screen time. And then sometimes they're getting sued. And so they don't want to show that couple that got paired up and, you know, was abusive and whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like there needs to be more safety precautions for these people. And honestly, like also just like post show therapy or support groups, right? Because like some of them are going to be villainized whether or not it was their fault. And I just feel like at the end of the day, I wouldn't want any of them to like experience that much hate. There's way worse people in the world than people like on Love is Blind getting clout, you know?
I know, that's true. I sometimes worry that like someone's gonna like off themselves because of all the freaking hate from like everyone. It's a little scary, but I guess they're going into it knowing that that is a possibility, that people are scary on the internet.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, awesome. Any other things that you guys wanted to mention? I know we talked about a lot of stuff today. I feel like overall the season was really enjoyable to watch. Lots of twists and turns.
Reunion, definitely. Great. Best reunion show for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like what made this experience just so much more worthwhile and like rewarding was being able to share it with you guys and just having those moments, like either Wednesday evenings or Thursday mornings when we like finally met up after the show aired and we were like, oh my gosh, what did you think? Da 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 da, you know? So
absolutely. No, that made it so much more fun.
Yeah, I agree. That definitely made it so much more fun.
Yeah. Well, awesome. That's all I have for today. Any last things that you guys wanted to... I really appreciate you ladies joining me for this podcast episode. I hope this was fun for you and I hope everyone listening had a good time and just, I can't wait for season 7.
Yeah, let's do this for season 7 for sure.
Yes, I would love that. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes. thanks again, Molly and Rasheen, for being on and sharing your experiences. Until next time, buh-bye.
See you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.